Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Hunter Nemechek from Nemco Motorsports, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the April 9th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Nolly and myself will be talking about the ARCA Racing Series, Trans Am, IndyCar, the NHRA, and more. So how are you doing this evening?
Not too bad. Kind of hot, but that's nice, rather than being cold, I guess. How about yourself?
Zach? Not bad, not bad at all. I've been busily trying to schedule people for the program between now and June. I'm having a little bit of success. I'm not as successful as I'd hope, but I got everybody scheduled for this month except for next week, and we're working on an interesting theme for next week, which we'll reveal in a few days, so it should be good.
Yeah. Did you watch a lot of racing this weekend, or this past weekend, I should say?
I actually did. I had a pretty good weekend. Had a lot of stuff was on the air. I watched the Indy Lights race from St. Petersburg, because you can always see a little bit more on the broadcasts from a little bit different perspective than you can when you're at the racetrack. I also watched a race from New South Wales in Australia, which was pretty interesting. They have that on the Auto Channel, which you can find at theautochannel.com. They have local affiliates as well, WHDT TV, the first high-definition television network. It's on cable and satellite all over the country, different places. So it's pretty good. Didn't watch any of the NASCAR racing very much because they were off this past weekend. They weren't racing on Sunday anyway. They did have a Saturday race. So I'm looking forward to this weekend at the Trans Am race in Miami. I'm going down there on Sunday, thanks in part to my connections there, the AD Anzo with Robinson Racing, who were only at the Palmer National Raceway, as well as the media people with the series and the organization were kind enough to offer me 2 free tickets this week. Pretty good. Never seen a Trans Am series, but it was many long times since I've seen it. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you going to try and catch any of the Barrett Jackson, what's it called? You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction from Barrett Jackson Palm Beach takes place next weekend. Starts on the 17th, Friday the 17th. And it continues Saturday the 18th. And I don't know if they have any activity on Sunday the 19th. In the past they have, and sometimes they haven't. Friday, maybe for Saturday. It depends on what my actual work schedule is. I've been working a little bit with Rodney Skirst, who's the new public relations guy for Barrett Jackson. He used to work for Texas Motor Speedway, which is where NASCAR is this weekend. And it's one thing to go out to Barrett Jackson. It's basically just a really big car show where if you have the money, you can buy the cars that are on display, which makes it interesting. They also have demonstrations there and all sorts of things. So if you're interested, you can take a look at the Barrett Jackson website. I have links to it all over my coverage on the racing news section of SpeedwayDigest.com. So if you're interested, I advise you to go out there. I don't know off the top of my head how much the ticket prices are this year for admission, but I know they've been going down over the past couple of years. And this year, considering they have a full slot of bidders and consigners, I think the ticket prices are actually lower, and the car count would be higher, so it should be a good show.
That would be something to save up for.
Mm-hmm. So next year, when you're ready to go in and get a fancy car, save up your money, come down, become one of the bidders for the Barrett Jackson auction. There you go. Friday, they actually have pretty good deals sometimes. They have They're pretty much an average car on Friday, so if you want a decent car for a halfway decent price, go out there on Friday. Saturdays are the insane prices, but Fridays are pretty decent. This year you can even become an owner of Herbie the Love Bug if you're interested. He's one of the auction items there. They also have a Tony Stewart edition Chevelle Coupe that's being auctioned for charity. The charity auctions always bring in a ton of money. And any car prepared by Tony Stewart that's going towards the Daryl Gwynn Foundation should be a pretty interesting car.
About that is if I wanted a car so bad and I didn't win it, that would be kind of depressing.
It probably would be, but there's always other cars coming across the auction block every few minutes, so you'll find something. And if you didn't find it in Palm Beach, you can travel to Scottsdale and find it there. You can travel to Reno and get out there. You'll find a car. If you're willing to pay for it, it's there. There are lots of people who travel to all the different auctions. I don't know how exciting that would be. I suppose if you're really, really into cars, it would be amazing. But after a while, I think it gets to be the same cars over and over again. My father and I are friends with Tommy DuPont, who's the publisher of the DuPont Registry. And he goes to all those auctions, plus he goes to some of the Mecham auctions. He has quite a car collection of his own, but I would think that after you've seen, well, more than a few auctions, they all kind of blend together. It would still be interesting to be able to have the sort of money to register to become a bidder at all those auctions and just see what that's like for a little while.
Yeah, especially since I'm a Craigslist kind of person, so it would be different.
You're not a Barrett Jackson or DuPont Registry kind of person.
No, not really.
It's always interesting to talk to Mr. DuPont when we see him there. He's actually a really down-to-earth, normal guy, aside from the fact that he has huge estates all over the place. He has a really big house there in New York that he maintains. I think this year, it'll probably be like last year. Last year, the winter was really harsh. This year, the winter was even harsher. So I'm pretty sure it'll be I'm sure there's not much woe to go around for any members of the DuPont family, but still, it's always a tough deal when you have a long winter and you're looking at using your house and you can't.
Sorry, I dropped the phone.
Ah! Horrible. I just got a new cell phone, PCS, for a little plug for the Metro PCS people. Hopefully they'll throw me something in exchange. But that's actually waterproof for 30 feet for up to 30 minutes. And since I work around the water a lot on yachts and boats and other things, that's always a good thing. Luckily, I haven't dropped it yet. But better than sorry, you know.
But if you do drop it, you know, you better hope it doesn't go very, you know, like, deep or something.
Mm-hmm. Most of the work we do right on the dock is maybe 10 feet, maybe 20 feet deep. So you can pick it up out of the water and rinse it off, and it should be good as new. I'll test that theory. Up for you this evening. We've got Josh White Lightning White, who's going to be on the program again. He's on the program. He was actually on episode one of the Speedway Dive. He's hoping to get into the ARCA race. Stuff lined up. I know he's desperate to try and gain a little bit of extra sponsorship support, and that's why he's on the program this evening. NHRA former six-time champion Clay Milliken, who's going to be on for the second half of the show, and I'd like to thank him for agreeing to come on the show on such short notice. But he's talking about the event in Las Vegas that's happening this weekend. So how's your preseason race prep going?
Oh my goodness. We are kind of last minute people. I won't lie. We tend to rush everything at like the very last minute. But there's so much to do in so little time. It is crazy. But I mean, other than that, it's not going too bad.
Oh, that's good. When's your first announcing gig there at Ephrata Speedway?
I'm not sure because the first race is May 2nd. And I, because like I said previously, my brother and I are going to share the pink car this year. So I plan to race or at least be driving the first race. So hopefully I'll be starting the announcing probably the second race or so. But we still have to work out the finalizing details.
Cool. This evening will be, as I just mentioned, will be familiar to my readers of my former column on Examiner.com, the West Palm Beach Motorsports Examiner. Josh White Lightning White has been acknowledged as one of the most exciting up-and-comers in the ARCA Racing Series. He earned the nickname White Lightning due to his speed on track, as well as his Josh began racing at a very young age, and anything that fast. He quickly got up to speed, and in 2007, joined the IHRA Street Modified Tour, gaining 4 wins at Kanawha Valley Motorsports Park, in a series designed to emphasize driver skill over car preparation. In 2007, Josh stepped up a class to the IHRA Modified in 2009, capturing 5 wins at Kanawha Valley Motorsports Park. In 2010, Josh enlisted in the United States Marine Corps Reserve, where he underwent training, testing his limits both mentally and physically. He's still enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps and has so far nearly 6 years of experience in the reserves. In 2012, Josh made a big jump to the ARCA series, where he began testing with multiple teams to prepare for his future. Josh's official rookie season started in the ARCA series at Toledo Speedway, where he gained a 13th place finish, experiencing engine and communication issues during the race event. Josh's aggressive, bonsai, on-the-edge driving style has made him a crowd favorite as Almighty Darling, appearing on numerous radio programs and in the press. Hopefully he'll be calling within the next few minutes. Josh White has had some issues trying to get involved in the ARCA Racing Series. He tested in Daytona, had a really successful test. And they had some sponsorship issues, as a lot of the drivers we've talked to recently have had. And he has never had a full season in ARCA. He's hoping to have at least a couple of races this year. The last I saw, he needed roughly $300 more in order to secure his next race. He's hoping to race in Talladega. I know he also has a race scheduled sooner than that, but I'm not sure exactly when that is. So we can ask him that this evening, hopefully. You've been following the ARCA season at all?
No, not really. Actually, I haven't really followed a lot of racing lately because I've been so busy with our cars and stuff. But I try and, you know, look it up every once in a while, but it's easier said than done sometimes.
Sometimes, exactly. I know the ARCA series has its ups and downs. Sometimes all the races seem to be on television all the time. Other times you have to dig for them, and it's just kind of interesting. That's part of the thing with the Trans Am race I'm going to this weekend. The last Trans Am race, the one from Sebring, was televised. We made a big deal about the one here in Homestead. I'm pretty sure that the people who are racing in the race will outnumber the people in the grandstands and around the road course probably 2-1. Might even be worse than that, but especially since if you're going to buy tickets for the race, you have to actually go to the guard gates. For those of you who are interested, the gate number is gate 18. Purchase tickets at Guard House inside gate 18 for the Miami Sports Car Weekend at the Homestead Miami Speedway. So that's a little different, too. Plus, it's kind of a race that's being managed by the SVRA and the Trans Am Series, and the track itself doesn't have a lot of involvement in it. So it's sort of like more like some of the club racing they've had there at the facility that some of our previous guests have talked about. So should be quite an interesting event, though. I think that the Trans Am Series is definitely an up-and-coming series. They've got a lot of great cars in it. But it's kind of different now. They've got all the different sports car racing series. They're very similar. They've got the Pirelli Challenge, which is similar to the Continental Tire Series, which is similar to the Trans Am Series. And having that many series that are really similar, sometimes it's a good thing, but oftentimes it's not, because it takes away from the quality of the racing.
Yeah. So, I think I've probably asked this before, but you know what, I'm going to ask it again. So, what is your favorite, your all-time favorite racing series?
All-time favorite would probably be the IMSA series of the 1990s, which is totally different than the IMSA series of today. That would probably be Melbourne and the Jaguars and the Toyotas and everything all racing all over the country in New Orleans, and then in West Palm Beach, in Tampa. Pretty interesting time to be a race fan. The machines were fast, and they were probably 20% faster than they were before, than they are now, and a little bit different. And pretty awesome time to be a race fan. The stuff now, the technological is pretty neat too, but it's nothing compared to what it was in the 1990s.
My second year of racing, the guy that I raced for, he helped us build a car and everything, and he actually drove, he actually raced in the Busch series. It wasn't mm-hmm. called the Busch series, and I don't think that's what it's called anymore. No, it's Nationwide now, isn't it? Yeah. But anyways, he raced in that series for a little while, but... And I've seen all of his trophies and stuff. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to look at, like, the racing back then and compare mm-hmm. it to, like, the racing now. I don't know. I find it interesting.
Yeah, if you look at it now, I think a lot of the racing is controlled by the insurance companies. And that's just how it is. They're afraid of being sued. They're afraid of the drivers being injured. They're afraid of all these different things, which happened in the past too, but not to the extent it is now. In some parts, it's a detriment to the racing itself.
Yeah, and I guess that's understandable.
But if you look at some of the tracks, the FIA Formula E race in Miami, the Miami E-Prix thing that I went to a few weeks ago, the walls there are right up next to you. There's very little runoff area. There's very little stuff to keep you from slamming into the wall as hard as you could. And series like NASCAR and even to a certain extent IndyCar would never go to a track like that anymore. So it's kind of, it's the difference between the United States and the European mentality, I suppose. Doesn't necessarily mean that one is better than the other, but definitely makes it different. I don't know if you've seen the recent clip now of the car at the Nürburgring, where they had the Nissan sports car that lifted off the air, off the track, and traveled almost a quarter mile with the entire car, basically the nose of the car up in the air and just barely the fin of the car hitting the ground. Now that's insane, and I think they probably need to do some adjustments there. But those are the sort of crashes there used to be a lot more of, and it makes it, in some ways it makes it more exciting, but in other ways it's just not a very good thing. It definitely scare away some of the corner workers.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like we've got our first caller on the line, so we'd like to bring Josh White to the program. Hello, how you doing?
Doing all right. It's Josh White. We're on our way to Nashville.
Cool. Congratulations.
I didn't think about Eastern Time, Central Time. What time is it there?
8:21 p.m., so you're not too bad.
All right, so we're still in the green. We're good.
You are. I know the 2015 season has been off to a rather slow start for you. How's it going so far?
Well, we're doing a starting park at Nashville. That's my little announcement that I wanted to make on the fan page tonight. It's a start. It's definitely a start in the right direction. We got a brand new race car we're going to show off for the starting park. Hopefully, turn some heads a little bit. Hopefully, get a sponsor out of the deal. That's the main idea. After this weekend, I'm hoping to go back for Salem, and then I don't know what we got lined up. After that, everything's kind of up in the air. But definitely excited. It's been the first time I'd be behind the wheel of an ARCA car since Daytona testing in 2013.
What are your goals for this year, aside from making the race this weekend and then possibly making the race in Salem? What's your goal beyond that?
My goal beyond that is just to get back on track. You know, I want to... Just like every other racer, you know, they want sponsors. That's what I want. But difference is, you know, I want sponsors just so I can go do what they do. You know, that's the main goal. I really feel as if I was to make it that far, that the sponsor wouldn't be disappointed, and I'd do everything in my power to create a positive experience. And, you know, beyond that, the main goal would be to win, right?
There you go. I know you stated in the past that you were considering doing some dirt track racing. How's that effort going?
Rather slow. We have the vehicle we need to pull our hauler. We got it all set up now, so now we're on the lookout for a hauler. I have my eyes on this one dirt car I might end up buying, but one way or the other, by the end of the year, I'm going to have a dirt crate late model. That's my drug is racing. That's all I think about. That's all I really want to do. I mean, that's where my heart's at. That's what I've... It's just me. It's who I am. It's a part of who I am. And so if I'm not ARCA racing because I don't have a sponsor, well, I'm going to go hit the dirt.
You've kind of touched on this a lot of times before, but how difficult is it to find sponsors in today's economy?
You want me to define sponsors?
How difficult is it to find sponsors?
Oh, it's extremely hard. As a matter of fact, I think if you tried to find the needle in the haystack, finding the needle in the haystack would be a lot easier. At the same time, though, it's all about being at the right place at the right time. It's all about you, your program, how you present yourself, and I thought there for a while that we was doing something right, because we got some attention, and there has been some people that said that they're interested. but they want to see some results. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give it to them. And hopefully in the process, spark some new interest in some other people. I mean, that's how a lot of these big guys get started. I mean, it's just strategy, and you got to keep going, you know. When you start getting down like I have and you're about to give up, you got to find the motivation to just keep going. And sometimes that's really tough.
What's your favorite track to compete on?
Well, I would most certainly say that would be also the most obvious. Who doesn't like Daytona? That's my favorite. It's just a beautiful track, a beautiful place. Love the speed. I mean, love the feel of it, too. Just, I can't wait to go back. Hopefully, I get to go this year, but, you know, nothing ever comes with guarantees or promises in this industry unless it comes to sponsorship under some circumstances. You know, myself, I always try to raise my expectations above their standards, whereas some other race car drivers do the same thing and they're not always successful. I'm not saying that I would be successful as well, but I would definitely do my best, and I would make sure that the sponsor would not be unsatisfied.
Which current NASCAR stars, if any, have been most helpful in your efforts to break into the ARCA series?
I'm sorry, what was that question again?
NASCAR stars have been most helpful in your efforts to break into racing?
You're asking, has there been any NASCAR stars that helped me into ARCA?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Quite a few. I want to say former. Plenty of former NASCAR drivers, like Andy Hillenburg. He was actually my driving mentor for a long time. And, you know, really good friend of mine. I can't wait to see him down the track, because me and him haven't talked for a long time, actually. And then a lot of the team owners I've talked to, a few NASCAR drivers, like, now that you ask me, I can't think of it, but that's pretty sad, but it's been a long day. I'm sorry. It's I'm about 6 hours into this drive, so I'm kind of wore out.
That's okay. What's your most memorable racing moment?
Most memorable racing moment? Well, definitely Daytona, but I'm going to add to that subject. It was aggravating at the moment. Now, this is a different race I'm talking about. It was aggravating at the moment, but I find it kind of comical now that I look back on it. I'd have to say the comical moment would be Toledo. I'm going around the track in my practice, and the team, I guess, didn't put hood pins on the hood. So here I am going around the track, just full-blown, you know, just like everybody else, pedal to the metal, you know, corners hard, you know, going in hard, coming out hard. The next thing you know, I'm in turn three, and my hood comes up and slaps my windshield. And so here I am, looking through this crack about no bigger than the size of your index finger, trying to find my way to pit road riding my apron.
That must have been exciting.
It was. It really scared me really bad at first, because I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, this thing comes up on me. Here I am going full bore. I didn't know if I was going to end up in the wall or end up hitting somebody or what. You know, I just pulled myself together and made it to pit road safely. And, finished that race 13th with engine trouble and no communication. It wasn't too bad.
I know you're in a start and park car basically this weekend. What's your goal for this weekend? What position would you like to finish in? How far you want to get in the race?
I want to get as far as I can. I mean, we don't have the money to finish the race. I mean, you know, I'm going down to Nashville. I want to add to the limited funding subject just to make it to Nashville for this starting park. I didn't pay my phone bill, so they got cut off this month. I'm on a prepaid plan. And then, you know, Caitlin decided to stay home and work, and, well, we're going to Nashville in a 98 Ford Expedition with the air mattress in the back. We don't have money for a hotel. And very limited funding for some food. So it's definitely a challenge, but we're having fun.
Well, that's the important thing, then.
It definitely is, you know. It took a big risk coming down here. I bet you I've spent 3 or 4 days working on this truck. I've put 2 ignition coils in it, a set of spark plugs, a serpentine belt. I've replaced brake lines, done a little bit of body work on it, just to get it roadworthy to get down here. So it's been a struggle this week. And just to take just to get the ignition coils, or just to replace them and the spark plugs, I had to take the entire fuel system completely off, as well as the EGR emission system out, just to get to them. So that was a 2-day job.
Well, hopefully your car there in Nashville. Yeah, hopefully your car in Nashville runs better than the truck there, and you've got some good racing ahead of you this weekend.
Actually, it's the truck is almost perfect. I need more brakes. I don't have much brakes, but and then I got to check engine light on. I think I got a couple O2 sensors that's bad. But other than that, it runs really good. And as far as my goal is this weekend for the Troop A 200, I want to of course make it as far as I can in the race, but. You know, I just want to do good. I want to put down some good laps during practice and qualifying. That's the main goal here, because we're not going to be able to really compete much in the race. I mean, just a few laps, that's all. The main idea of a starting park anyway is, you know, if you don't have the money to go and race a full race, you keep points on your number, and you get paid a little bit of money for it, just enough to clear your expenses for getting the car down to the track and to give you a little bit of extra spending money for the race. I mean, after the race, you know, the payout's just a little bit, you know, profitable, but not by much at all. At least for the team owner. I'm not really getting too much out of this deal except for free seat time. And I tell you what, I'm happy with that. Like I said, racing's my drug, and I'm going through withdrawals. I'm ready to get behind the wheel.
Well, my host has one or two questions for you.
All right.
If you had the ability to change anything about the racing world, what would you change and why?
I would change... Now... Mr. Humpy Willard would agree with this. Me and him has talked a time or two. I don't know if you know Humpy, but he's a former owner and president of Charlotte Motor Speedway. And he also helped Earnhardt Sr. get where he was at when he raced Cup. But anyway, he and I both agreed on the point where we need to quit making these cars so expensive. The little guys like me can get up here and do these big time races. And that's how we're going to get our start. You know, back in the day, things was a lot less expensive then. I'm sure you could probably get a gallon of gas for like 40 cents. But you could spend back then $500-$600, go to the track, have a good time. Well, back then you had all these big, you know, small time guys with this big fan base coming from, you know, South Carolina up to Charlotte to race, let's say, the Coca-Cola 600. Well, they brought new fans, and that's why NASCAR got so big really quick. It was because the cars were competitive, for one. Two, there was always new and exciting people coming to the track to give them a good show. And that's what it's going to take to get back to where we was, is to make these cars more competitive and less expensive so the small guy can make it.
So, if you could, would you own tracks, or do you just like racing? I mean, like...
I've definitely thought about it. I would actually love to own my own team. But just like being the driver and racing, it's really not much more expensive. You know, one of these days I will say that I will own my own team. But until I get there, I'm just going to stick to being a driver, because the cost really ain't that much more. And it's a lot less of a headache if you're racing for a team rather than racing for your own team anyways, because then you don't have to deal with maintenance on the equipment and then, you know, getting new stuff every other weekend or every weekend or whatever. And you don't have to deal with all the running and the insurance, the bills. I mean, the price list is endless. I mean, you see a car owner, there's no wonder why a lot of them own 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cars. Because they need 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 drivers to keep their shop going. I mean, they charge them a little bit more than what it costs for them to actually put the car out there on the racetrack, but it keeps them going. And I'm all right with that, as long as it's not too much. I mean, if it costs $70,000 to put my car out on the racetrack for Daytona and race it, and me go to, you know, Ipsen Motorsports, who I'm racing for right now, and get the same thing for, you know, $75,000, I'm all right with that. You know, I mean, obviously, if I'm spending $70,000 anyway, why not spend the extra five? That way you don't have to deal with the headache of it.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening, and wish you lots of luck at Nashville, and hopefully you have a good race and pick up a great sponsor to continue for the rest of the ARCA season.
Absolutely, and if anybody's interested, they can go to arcaracing.com this weekend, and they can click on live timing and scoring, and every time I go around the track, it'll post my lap time so you can see how I'm doing, and stay tuned in on the fan page. Maybe we'll have some new updates, and we'll for sure have some pictures and some really nice stuff going on there, and I really appreciate everybody's support. I really do.
Well, thanks again, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Our next guest this evening is Clay Milligan. The Drummond, Tennessee native, has loved racing his entire life. At 16, Milligan got his first race car and began his journey into motorsports history. A hobby racer for all his adult life, Milligan's journey to the NHRA took a lot of hard work and determination. Fate stepped in at Picnic in 1997, when Milligan met Northwestern University student Peter Lehman. Lehman fell in love with drag racing and set out to help Milligan secure sponsorship to make it into Top Fuel racing. In 1998, Milligan made his Top Fuel debut in Chicago and never looked back.
Milligan has made a career of breaking down barriers and making his dreams come true. Known as the Southern Gentleman of the Circuit, Milligan strives to always make time for his fans. His tireless efforts to make those personal fan connections have blossomed into one of the largest fan bases of all active NHRA drivers. In addition to his efforts on the track, Milliken is also very active on social media. His daily Twitter interactions with fans has grown into the large following of all active NHRA drivers. Outside the track, Milliken enjoys spending time with his high school sweetheart and wife of 30 years, Donna, and their two sons, Kale and Dolphin. The Milliken's oldest son, Kale, is a talented artist in the Memphis area. Milliken describes Kale as his own man who is using his incredible talents to fulfill his dreams. While their oldest son is blazing his path in the art world, the Milliken's youngest son is carrying on the family gearhead gene. Dalton Milliken started his motorsports career traveling the country racing in the AMA-ATVA National Racing Series, in which he won his first series title in 2011. In 2014, Dalton signed on with Feld Motorsports to drive the Blue Thunder Monster Truck and ride quads in the Moore Monster Jam Tour, currently traveling around the United States and overseas.
Now we'd like to welcome Clay Milliken to the program. Hello, how are you doing?
How y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good. First off, why did you decide to become a race car driver?
It's the only thing I ever knew there was to do. I never had any thoughts of doing anything else my entire life. I mean, I have no idea other than the fact that the moment that I remember anything about cars, I knew I wanted to drive one as fast as it could go, and there was certainly nothing faster on the planet to drive than a top-fuel dragster, and so that's what set me that direction.
Can you explain to the average person what it's like to accelerate from zero to over 300 in a couple of mere seconds?
You know what? The closest thing I can think of is, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of descriptions, but you know, for the average person, there really is nothing that totally explains it unless, maybe you played football and you got run over by some really fast linebacker that just come crashing through you, and that's kind of what the car does. I mean, it literally, you know, it hits you in the back and just accelerates like nothing on the planet. I mean, they are the fastest accelerating cars on the planet, and I love it. I mean, there's just not a good description, and I have done a lot of really cool things in my life. I've rode with U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds. I've jumped out of airplanes. I've bungee jumped. And I have never found anything that compares to what that's like.
What are your hopes for the 2015 season?
Oh, you know, our hopes are, we look at it really one run at a time. I mean, as we speak, I am in Las Vegas preparing for the race this weekend here. And I'm literally looking, you know, what we're going to do on our first run tomorrow and, you know, and then what we do on our next run and so on and so on. But, I mean, you know, the goal is obviously the ultimate goal, which is win the NHRA championship. And that is our plan for the season. You know, we're a new team. You know, Doug Stringer put together a brand new team this year, and Parks Plus has been with me for 5 years now. Great Clips come on board this year. And so we are a new team, and we have been very realistic in the goals we've set each weekend, and you know what, for the most part we've achieved those goals. Doug has assembled a really great race team here with a lot of veterans at the top and a lot of young guys teaming this thing up, bringing up the whole crew, and you know, things are really starting to come together. You know, the car's been going rounds the last couple weeks. We've got ourselves into the top 10 in points. And, you know, from here, our next goal is that qualifying run tomorrow.
You just brought up the fact that it's a new team, and you've got the sponsor that's been with you for several years, a new one there. I know that some teams in the NHRA, most notably Sean Langdon, has had some sponsorship issues this season. How difficult is it to find sponsorship in today's economy in the NHRA in particular?
You know, sponsorships are something that, you know, that's a question people ask all the time. How do I get a sponsor? How do I get a sponsor? Sponsorship has changed over the years. You know, used to a company, you know, they may be totally interested in just the advertising, but, you know, now companies are really a lot of them are way more interested in business to business, you know, B2B. That's the hot word in the sponsorship game, B2B. And, you know, you've got to be able to go out there and show a company that you're good for their business, and that's our job. You know, it's not about putting that beautiful, you know, Parts Plus logo on the side of the race car, and the haulers going up and down the road. Yes, we make sure that we represent them 100%, but we've got to help their business grow. You know, that's what sponsorship is about. You know, it's brand awareness, it's business to business, it's all the things that will, you know, make that company glad that they're involved with your company, because Stringer Performance is a company, and we've got to do a really good job for everybody that supports us, because we need their business to do well so that our business does well. And, you know, so the sponsorship thing is something that you've got to really work on. It's not about just simply, you know, putting that decal on the car and going to the racetrack and running good. I mean, you've got to do things off the track all the time. You know, you've got to figure out ways to help those people that help you, and that is what sponsorship's about. You know, you've got to make sure you take care of the companies that you work with.
Aside from yourself, who are the drivers to watch out for in 2015?
Oh, I mean, you know, but pretty much all the guys that are out there, anybody can win at any time. I mean, the Top Fuel class has gotten so close now that literally there's not a driver that you can't worry about, because on any given run, they can step up there and hit a home run and put you out of the game, you know, first round or any round. It's incredible just how tight the racing has become. You know, used to, the number one qualifier may have a tenth on the field. Now it's not unusual for number one to number 16 to be, you know, a tenth and a half apart. I mean, and so everything matters now. I mean, it's not just, you know, any one car that is truly heads and tails above anybody else. I mean, anybody can win at any time, and that's what makes NHRA drag racing so fun to watch right now, because you just don't know who's going to come out on top on any Sunday.
Who's your favorite driver of all time?
Favorite driver of all time? Wow, that's a tough question. You know, I am certainly a drag racer through and through, and I don't really have any one all-time favorite, but, you know, I certainly have got several that I really look up to that are incredible. And one of them probably will surprise you a little bit is actually Richard Petty. I always just loved how Richard Petty took time with the fans and made sure that he signed autographs and did everything that any fan could possibly ever want. You know, he gave his time freely and still does. And you know, that was an impression on me when I was a little kid that, man, this is, you know, the king is Richard Petty. You know, he doesn't have to stand here and do this over and over again, but he really made an impression on me as a young kid, and always thought that was awesome. And of course, you know, Big Daddy Don Garnes, you know, the guy tuned it, drove it, built it. There was nothing that he couldn't do when it comes to drag racing. I mean, the guy's, you know, he is the all-time number one drag racer, no two ways about it. So, you know, those are two guys that certainly, you know, put a big impression on me as a kid, for sure.
Which track are you most looking forward to in the 2015 schedule?
The next one I'm at. So right now it's Las Vegas, and I truly do mean that. Every track I go to, I go there with the, you know, the expectations of winning and running good. And so literally, I mean that. Every track I go to, I like it, because I love putting the helmet on. I love mashing the gas on a 10,000 horsepower Top Fuel car. So just put me on the racetrack. To quote Days of Thunder, just let me drive. Just let me drive. I won't make a fool out of it. Just let me drive.
There you go. I know for the past several years, I've had the luxury of being able to go out to the Palm Beach International Raceway for the Pro Winter Warm-Up you have out there. How do you feel about that facility and the fact that they have the preseason testing there?
Oh, man, I love that place. And I just said I love every track we go to, but that place has got a little bit of specialness to me, because I am really good friends with Jason Rittenberry, you know, and Jason certainly helps maintain everything that IRG does. And obviously I work with Jason on the IHRA side of things. You know, IHRA has been a big part of my career, and I'm fortunate enough to work, you know, with IHRA Productions on the TV side of things for them. And so Palm Beach, you know, that means a lot to me, because, you know, that's that's one of Jason's racetracks and IRG racetracks, and Jason's a good buddy, and I love coming down there to the Pro Winter Warm-Up.
What advice would you give someone who's interested in becoming a professional racer?
Treat everybody you meet with the utmost respect, because you never know who you're talking to. And that kind of goes back to the question earlier about sponsorship. And that is the craziest thing, that you just never know that anybody you're talking to, that they could be, you know, they could be your next sponsor. You know, you could have someone literally walk up and be the head of a corporation that are interested in what you're doing at the racetrack. And so, you know, that's the thing. Treat everybody with respect, and always try to treat everybody the way you want to be treated.
And I'd like to throw it out to Washington State, my co-host Michael Mullally, who has a couple of questions for you.
Well, while we're talking about track, how do you feel about Pacific Raceway?
Pacific Raceway, is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, Seattle's cool, because we go there, you know, at a beautiful time of year. That place is gorgeous. I mean, all the trees, the mountains in the background. I mean, that is a scenic view. Place is awesome. It is awesome. And I've run good there in the past, and it's fun to go to. You know, it's the fans there, you know, they love their drag racing. They're really knowledgeable. So I really enjoy going to that racetrack.
Have you ever thought about getting into, I mean, you know, obviously still drag racing, because I'm a huge drag racing fan myself, but, like, have you ever thought about getting into, like, a different type of racing, like circle track or dirt track?
You know, I have not. I've made some laps in a dirt car. The vice president of Parts Plus, Steve Tucker, had a dirt car that I made some laps in. That was a lot of fun. I enjoy going to the dirt races. I grew up watching Sammy Swindell and a lot of the World Outlaw guys come from the Memphis area. You know, it's fun to go watch. You know, I've just never really thought about, oh, I want to do that. You know, I enjoy motocross racing. My son was very successful at it, and so I enjoy watching. I mean, my oldest son, as you mentioned earlier, you know, his name Kale. Might have named him after Kale Yarbrough, which I did. But drag racing, that's my love, you know. And would I go make some laps in another car? Sure. You know, I would do it for fun. But, you know, I make my living drag racing, and that's what I plan to continue doing.
If you could, would you own your own racetrack?
Own my own racetrack?
Yeah.
Wow. That is something I've never, ever really thought of. You know, I grew up in a very small grocery store that my grandfather started, and what I do know about owning your own business, which would, you know, certainly be what a racetrack is, you're pretty much, you're married to it. I mean, you know, it's a 365-day job, and, you know, I love being at the racetrack. I go to the Memphis International Raceway all the time on test and tune nights when I'm home. And but I don't know, you know, I've never thought about it. I don't know that I've got, you know, the business side of owning a racetrack. I certainly enjoy being there. Would love to be, you know, part of operating a racetrack, but owning one, I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't really have an answer to.
My mom frequently mentions to me how she wishes that drag racing would bring back the high school drag. Did you ever participate in anything like that?
You should have dug in my bio a little deeper. I actually hosted a television show called Drag Race High, and I also hosted a show on MTV2 called Burnout, which both were with students. And I love, you know, interacting with young people, you know, introduce them to racing. You know, Drag Race High, we went to two rival high schools, and you know, we gave them cars, we gave them an equal amount of parts to work with, and they built cars and raced each other. It was a fun TV show. I loved it. Burnout, we actually did that with Universal Technical Institute, and that was a lot of fun. It was very similar, you know, scenario where we gave them cars to work with and parts, and I did not have a high school program when I was growing up, but I certainly enjoyed being part of that, and it is nice seeing young people out at the drag strip. That is so awesome. That just tells us that our sports will keep going. That's really important.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening and wish you lots of luck this weekend in Las Vegas. Hopefully you have a great run, and it leads to lots more starts in the Top Fuel Series this year and beyond.
Thank you guys so much. I really enjoyed being part of the show, and we are looking forward to hammering the gas on that Parts Plus Great Clips Top Fuel Dragster, putting this Stringer Performance car in the winner's circle this weekend out here in Las Vegas. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks to you very much. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank y'all.
Once again, that was Clay Milliken, who's a driver in Top Fuel in the IHRA. He also hosts some programs for the IHRA, and he's an awesome guy. Hopefully he has a great weekend.
Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar.
Yeah, I'd advise you to do that tonight and sometime in the next few days. I'm going to be announcing the winner of the little Easter contest I hosted, where you're going to be given a autographed hero card from one of several different motorsport series, as well as a coloring book featuring a racing game. I'm also going to throw in some little Easter surprises. So I've got, I think, six people who are up for it so far, and I'm pretty generous, so you never know, I might give all of them a prize tonight. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at speedwayguys.com. Thank you for listening. I look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome, when we will once again tackle many issues surrounding our modern world of autosports. Good night, and see you next week.